That it? Hey, good. Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for the welcome. That's interesting because my phone, the ringtone I have is Mission Impossible. I was hoping they might have played that, but that was good. Thank you, musos and singers. God bless you. Thank you very much for having us in Hobart, and thank you to Alex and Dave and leadership for having us. We're blessed. We've had a great time since we're down. We've been here since Friday night, and we're blessed. All is well in Burnie. Praise God. Does that concern you? It's the greatest small city on earth. Launceston is good. Burnie is great. No, praise God. Things are good in Burnie. In fact, Burnie is in its greatest days in all of its history. And that's the truth. That's just a statement. If you come from Burnie, that's the truth. It's in its greatest days. We've seen economic development. We've seen dynamic changes in the city as you look at it as a whole. We've seen population increase. We've seen churches growing. It's a great place to live. Amen. And it should be important to you. You're underneath us here supporting, you know, from down here. And so it's really important. And so praise God for that. Amen. We want the whole of Tassie to flourish. We want all the churches to see increase. We want the economic growth and development to happen right around the state. Praise God. Amen? And to some of you young people, if you get that in your heart right now, that is important. To seeing growth and seeing development and things happening around the state is very, very important. Don't wait till you're old like us to start being concerned about it. But get it in your heart right now. This is a glorious state. It's the best place on earth. You better believe it. A lot of our friends have been all around the world, and when it's time to start a family and get serious about life, they come back to Tassie because they say, well, we wouldn't do it anywhere else. Praise God. Amen? Yeah, I think it's awesome. So thank you for having me down here, and praise God. I'm going to start this morning. We were looking at all sorts of things, but I want to look at something that's very dear and near and dear to my heart. It's a pumpkin. Who's old now, but when you were young, you hated these things? We hated them. We hated pumpkin. Who over here hates pumpkin? You still hate pumpkin. That's because you're not old. All right. I tell you, when you have to eat pumpkin and you think, I hate pumpkin, but when you get older, you'll love pumpkin soup. What's the difference between pumpkin? I don't know what the difference is between pumpkin. But what I want to share with you tonight and talk about with you tonight is this. We looked at generosity this morning. Were you here this morning? Yeah. Anyone here this morning? I hope you're encouraged. Well, I just want to just sort of take it a little further if I can and do things a little differently. But you know the interesting thing about everything that God has made? It has potential to be bigger than itself. Yes. Everything living that God has made has potential to be bigger than itself. And it's so true for your life. And young people, older people, no matter where you're at, rich people, not so rich people, all sorts of people from all walks of life, there is potential that God placed deep down inside of you to be far, far bigger than you ever dreamed you could be. And I tell you, I want to use the example of a pumpkin. You know, in a pumpkin, the average pumpkin has somewhere between 80 to 100 seeds inside of itself. Isn't that incredible? And you can take one of these pumpkin seeds, and you know what you can do? There is such dynamic potential in that thing, that little thing there. It's sort of squishy and soft and smells, some people really hate the pumpkin, and nobody eats the seeds. They throw them out, put them in the bin. And yet, something that's a throwaway item, God has put the incredible potential in that. That thing, if you plant it, my dad's a gardener. He tells me this. He tells me that seed can produce about 20 pumpkins on a vine. That's about average. They can produce up to 30, but they can go down to 15. So 20 is about average. That thing has the power and the potential inside of itself to produce 20, we'll say 20 pumpkins. 20 pumpkins. And you know what? That 20 pumpkins have around about 100 seeds inside of each one. And so it's not rocket science to work out what's 20? 20 pumpkins times 100. It's good. That's good math. What is it? What's 20 times 100? 20,000. It has just in one bit of growth, right? In one pumpkin, you take out the seed, you plant all the seeds, and in one season, thousands and thousands of pumpkins are produced. Thank you for your math. Do you know that? Anyone think that's amazing? This is a throwaway item. You will use it. Chinese restaurants, all sorts of restaurants around Hobart will use this thing, and they will throw all that thing out. And yet God built down inside the humble pumpkin seed the potential in one season to produce thousands and thousands. And I'll tell you, if there was nothing, you might think, well, I don't like pumpkin anyway. But I'll tell you what, if there was nothing else on earth to eat, you would love this little critter. You would think, oh, thank God for the pumpkin. Amen? You would. And so it's interesting that in a thing that we consider a throwaway item, God has put such enormous potential to reproduce thousands and thousands. In fact, and over 10 years, it's obviously hundreds of thousands and hundreds. And over 20 years, it's millions upon millions of pumpkins are produced through that little thing there. You know, when God made his creation, he said this. He looked at it after the first day and he said, it's good. Thank you. He looked at it after the second day and he said, that's good. After he made the plants and all the things. And then he looked at the third day, fourth day, fifth day, and he says, good, it's good, it's good. And after the sixth day, he said, he made man and he said, this is very good. And he wasn't just saying, oh, like she's really good looking, or he's really good looking, or isn't he handsome? What he was saying is, the potential I put in the things that I made in the first 5 days is good, but the potential that is in this creature called men and women is very good. That's inside of you. There's a God-given potential. Whether you recognize it tonight or not, there is a God-given potential deep down inside of you that is very good. That is incredible. You know, we heard about some of these young people here, and this whole, you know, there are so many stories of self-harm and issues in life that are so destructive. And Christ comes with a message that says there is a hope and a future, not to just live and survive, but to thrive and to flourish and to reproduce and dynamically impact a hurting world. Praise God. And the potential has been put on the inside of each one of us. Praise God. Yes? Amen. If we will take what we have, as we looked at this morning, and we will give it to God, we will release it to the power of God. Amen. And become generous people. Praise God. Generous with what we have. We looked at four T's this morning. Everybody has time. Everybody has treasure. Everybody has talents. And everybody has touch that you can impact a hurting world. And young people, if you learn this right now tonight, if you get hold of this tonight, that your value is so much bigger than the shape of your body or the way that you speak or what you do or don't have. It's far bigger than that. There's a God that wants to come and live on the inside of you and release his power and his glory and his wonderful creative power through you. That's the most exciting news you'll ever hear. Yeah, good. Praise God. Yeah. It's better than watching Essendon get beaten. Praise God. I want to just quickly go through a few things tonight. If you have a Bible, please turn me to 2 Kings. I'm a St. Kilda supporter, and so I'm not saying much. We got beaten by Port Adelaide. That is just terrible. What is that? Hallelujah. I want to just briefly look at generosity. And we looked at this morning, we are no more like God. We're no more like Christ in doing anything else but being generous. Jesus is the most generous person that ever walked the earth. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. He's now, the Bible tells us, he's praying for you every day. Whether you want him to or not, or whether we understand those things, it's inconsequential. God's heart is such a heart of love that he's put his son in a position to live for you, die for you, be raised from the dead for you, and be praying for you and your life and your circumstances every single day. That's pretty incredible. That's generosity. His complete life was given for you. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we need to develop that kind of thing on the inside of us. Can you say amen?
where we are living for God, where we're prepared to die to ourselves to see the purposes of God begin to show themselves through our lives, where we are able to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and we're every day praying for needy people and praying for the family and praying for friends and praying for your city and praying for your state, praying for your nation is on your heart every day. We looked at it this morning. You can criticize this nation. You can criticize this government. You can do it if you like. But I'll tell you what will change it is prayer. Policy change, law changes, economic. They won't change the state of people's hearts. But praying, a praying church will. We have a faithful God who responds to believing prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, now it happened one day that Elisha was a prophet. He was a man of God in the Old Testament, went to Shunem where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was as often as he passed by that he would turn in there and eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let's build a small room, an upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed and a table and a chair and a lampstand that whenever he comes, he can stay here and turn in here. And it happened that one day he came there and he turned into the upper room and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, who was his mate, he says, call the Shunammite woman, call her up here. And when he had called her, she stood by him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been so concerned and with all this generosity, one version says, or with all this care, what can I do for you? Do you want me to speak to the king or to the commander of the army? And she said, no, I don't want to do that. And verse 14 says, so he said, well, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered and said, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. And she said, call her. And when he called her, he stood at the doorway and he said to her, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And so on. And it says there in verse 17, it says, but the woman conceived and bore a son in the appointed time. Interesting, isn't it? This lady, just briefly looking at generosity, it says, now it happened one day that Elisha, in verse 8, says, went to shoot him. There was a notable woman, and she met him and persuaded him to eat some food. The first thing that happens in this thing is this, is that we need to understand that everybody has the capacity to be generous. Everybody has the capacity to be generous in some way. This girl, this lady was out, you know, doing whatever she's doing, and a man of God walks past, and he's a prophet, and she recognizes him. And she says, would you like some food? And he says, yeah, that'd be good. So she invites him in for Vegemite sandwiches. Fresh bread, Vegemite sandwiches. It's pretty good. What happens is that, you know what? This lady didn't have a whole lot. But what she did have, she made it available to God and to the plans of God and to the purposes of God. She just said, hey, listen, we can do lunch with this guy. We can have this guy for lunch. And you know what? She used it as a starting point to get her heart going, to get her generosity going, to get what God had given her going. She invited him for lunch. You know what? God always uses little things to do big things. God used a stick in the hand of Moses to part the Red Sea and take 2 or 3 million people through. Hey, do you think 2 or 3 million is a good church? I think that's a big church. That's what? How many? 3 million people is what? 6 times the top population of Tassie. And God used a stick. Moses cries out to God, says, God, the Red Sea's there and the enemy is breathing down our necks. They're going to kill us. What do we do? God says to Moses, I've given you a stick. How will that help? Can you imagine that? No, God, I want a miracle. I want power to come from heaven and fire to consume the water. He says, no, you don't need that. You've got a stick. He says, put the stick out over the water. Watch what happens. Moses puts a little thing, a stick, and he puts it out over the water and pow, the water's over. God used a little thing, a stick, Because, see, if he gave him excavators and bulldozers and concrete and all that sort of stuff, he'd have said, Moses, you build it and made it happen. God says, when I use little things like sticks and people, I get the glory. This lady took what she had. You know, God used, who's ever heard of David and Goliath? It doesn't matter where you're from, you've possibly heard of David and Goliath. God used David, you know what? But you know what? He used a piece of cloth and a rock to win a major battle and a war. Thousands of people here, thousands of people there. You'd think that they'd think, okay, let's bring the mortars in, let's bring the tanks in. God says, no, 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 let's use a piece of cloth and a rock. And he delivered a nation from an enemy that was about to take over. Can you imagine that? God uses little things to do a lot. There's a story most of you may have heard about how Jesus fed the 5,000. You know what he did? He called banjos in Campbelltown and banjos in Burnie and Launceston and Hobart and wherever they are. And he got all these sandwiches made up. He didn't, did he? He used something little to do a big job. The Bible says that he fed 5,000 men. That means the potential of that thing could have been 15,000 people with a boy's lunch. God uses a little to do a lot. Amen? Because some people say, I'll be generous when I get my payout at 65. Then I'll cut loose. When I get married and we've got two incomes, then we'll be generous. Then we'll serve God. See, a lot of people, someone's shaking their head, a lot of people live like this. But the Bible tells us here that this lady just said, come and have lunch. It might have been Vegemite sandwiches. It could have been whatever it was. But she used and she got started in God and moving with God and influencing people with lunch. Let's do lunch. I don't know whether they spoke like that back then or not, but it's pretty trendy to say, let's do lunch. But she gets going and says, let's do lunch. And look at what happened in her life. And so it says there that, and where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to come and have food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in and eat. One meal got something stirred up inside of this young lady. She stepped out and fed this guy, and then all of a sudden, she's looking out the window, waiting for this guy to come back, waiting for this man of God, this prophet. Well, because I want to feed him. I hope he comes every day. When she started, when she used what she had as a starting point, and got a foot on it and said, I can do this thing called generosity. I can do this thing called giving. I can be bigger than I am right now as I begin to give and use what I've got. She used the sandwiches as a starting point. And then every day, the Bible says, whenever that man came past, he called in and he ate lunch. And he ate lunch. And he ate lunch. And he ate lunch. And she began to develop. Generosity began to develop in her life. And then it says that she got so consumed and so got going in this thing. In verse 10, it says, she says to her husband, let's build a room on. Let's build a room. Let's put a room out the back there, up there. Let's put a table and a bed and a lamp and put all those things in it. Let's really get this generosity thing going. Let's really make, you know what happened? She says, let's build a room on. Have anyone ever had a baby? You see, when you have a baby, usually there's renovations that go on, and there's painting, and so on, and there's extensions and so on. Why? It's making room because the family's, things are getting bigger in our life. And this lady's in here, she's got generosity to such a degree, such something. She says, let's build a room on. You know what? When they build a room on, you know what happened? The neighbors would look at their lives and say, something's different about those people. Something's going on in their world. Look at that. Their life, the shape of their life has changed. I looked at them and they were just a little couple living in a little house, in a little life, with a little attitude and a little thing. You know, the generosity is not it's not a figure or an amount. It's a heart condition. You know, the Northwest Coast has got the worst per head of population, the worst amount of heart conditions of anywhere in Australia. It's pretty serious. But I said to God, I began to pray and say, God, I want a heart condition. I want a big heart condition. I want a generous heart condition. I want to be big spirited and big hearted and so big on the inside that when people look at my life like this lady, they look and say, there's action happening and the shape of their world is changing. Their home is bigger. Their life is bigger. Their heart is bigger. Everything about them just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger because of a generous heart deep down inside. She started with something really little. Every person in this place tonight can start somewhere with a level of generosity. And it will grow and develop. And as you make a start, you know when Peter saw Jesus coming on the water. Anyone remember know that story, that account? And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, just bid me to come." You know what he was saying? Give me a starting point, and I'll trust you. And he put his foot. He didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word. I can walk on that. This lady had a starting point. She started with a meal. She started with a coffee. She started with a smile, something really little and small. And then over a period of months, her life began to change shape. And people looked at their world and said, something's changing about these people. Look how big their world is. Look at their home is changing. Their attitude is changing. Something's different. I tell you, generosity will change the shape of your world. Everywhere you go, people will be impacted. People will look and say, what the heck is different about them? Why are they so? What is that thing? And above their lives is generosity. Flowing out of their lives is a bigness of heart and spirit. Praise God for that. Amen. Generosity can change and will change the shape of your life. But, you know, most people say, if I can't do it big, I won't do it at all. God always uses a little. Please hear me. Please hear what I'm saying here, because our lives have been a result of doing little things. And God takes it and pow, he touches it and things begin to happen. And eventually then people look into our world and say, what's different about? What's going on in that house, in that family? What's going on? You know, we want the world to look and say, what's going on in that church? They're a different shape. They're a different breed. There's a different DNA down inside. Something is different about them. It's a big spirit. It's a generous heart. You know why God wants to develop generosity in the church and the heart of his people? It's because generous people find it really easy to forgive. Generous people find it really easy to hug. You find someone who's free with their money, that you can offend them and they say, oh, that's all right, don't worry about it. Someone who's really tight with their money, you offended me. You offended me. You hear me, boy? You offended me. But somebody who's generous with their money, it's really generous. I don't worry, I forgive you. It's cool. Let's go and have a coffee. Let's do lunch. Generous people are usually very affectionate and welcoming. Generous people, you know, that are generous, they're great to have in their home. And they just keep pulling food out. Have anyone ever been to one of those homes? We had a guy in our church. He's an Egyptian. And you go there and he feeds you 36 courses of food. And then he says, please don't leave. It's nearly tea time. And he just, first time we ever went there, my wife Heather was 8 months pregnant. And after 16 courses, she's 9 months pregnant. And then after the meeting of the night, he says, would you like to come back? We're really busy. We've got some stuff we've got to do. They're just big-hearted, big-spirited people. And you love being around them. Amen? You know who I remember the most in my growing-up years? When I think back over my growing-up years, I remember the generosity of many people, but one man in particular, my uncle. And he was one of the most generous people. And I'll never, ever forget his generosity of compliments. With his mouth, he was generous. With his hugs, he was generous. With his finances, he was generous. With his time, he was generous. With his compliments and encouragement. He used to call me Chinaman. He just called me Chinaman for some reason. I don't know why. He says, come on, China, you can do it. And you know what? I went and did it. Because he was generous with what was deep down inside of him. It was coming out all over my life and began to influence my life. And I remember him. And when I go to my grave, I'll remember the generosity of that man. Changed my world. You can start with a little thing. Here's the results. Look here at the results of generosity. She started with a sandwich. She went into food, so let's say weekly. They built on an extra room and so on. And the prophet says, say to her in verse 13, he says, look, you have been concerned for us with all this generosity and care. What can I do for you? What does generosity produce? All of a sudden, this lady had the attention of the power of God. The prophet, the man who walks in miracles and signs and wonders, he's a representation of God on the earth. All of a sudden, the generosity of this girl opened up and got the attention of heaven. There's a scripture that talk about in the book of Acts, a man named Cornelius. Have you ever heard of Cornelius? He's a funny character, Cornelius. And the Bible says this. It says that his prayers and his generosity had caught the attention of heaven. Not just his prayer. The Bible says his prayer and his giving has caught the attention of heaven. And they were the first non-Jews to experience the baptism and infilling of the Holy Ghost. Did he buy it? No. He didn't buy the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did he pay for it? Was it just a general? No. The Bible says, I've seen your prayer and your faithfulness with what God has made available to you. Therefore, I can trust you with real riches, real power, real glory. His prayer and his generosity caught the attention of heaven. Same today, you and I, we can catch the attention of heaven, the power of God, through our prayer and our big-spirited faithfulness with what God has already put in your hands. Luke, in the book of Luke 16:9, it says this. Jesus says, if you will be faithful with a little, I will trust you with much. It says, if you will be faithful with money, I'll trust you with real riches from heaven. You think, come on, you buy this stuff? No. You show faithfulness. You show generosity and big-heartedness, and it catches the attention of heaven. Can you say amen? Here's the last bit. We'll finish here. And it says, and then it says, what can we do for you? And it says, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, says, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. And he called her and he said, about this time next year, you will embrace a son. And it goes on to say in verse 17, and the woman conceived and bore a son at the appointed time. The woman was barren. The Bible calls her barren, couldn't have a child. Now, that's just representative of this. Every one of us has barren areas of our life, areas where things don't grow, frustrating areas, areas that are dry and barren and there's no life in them. And only you know those things. You and your God know those things. But as this lady moved in generosity, opened her life, her home, took the little things she had and started developing a generous and a big spirit, the end result was she changed the shape of her life. She caught the attention of heaven and released the miracle-working power of God. In the appointed time, she held the son that she longed for. Was that because she persuaded them? She did something? No. The Bible just shows us here that she started small and she moved into generosity and developed such a heart. You see, God wants to move miraculously in every life in this church, every person in this place tonight. But God is so big and so dynamic and incredible. His love is so great. His power is so enormous that our humanity just right there and then can't handle it. And so God starts moving on the small things and begins to develop us and strengthen and enlarge us and work in us and through. And all of a sudden, we're in a position to handle the miracle-working power of God. Big-hearted, big-spirited people catch the attention of heaven. And whatever, it might be the dryness or the dry area or the barren area of your life, God wants to touch it. And I believe he wants to touch it tonight. I believe he wants to release his power into your life. Now, it might be simply, it might be that whole area of children and family and all those things. It might be an area of barrenness. Maybe it's a financial area. There's been failure after failure, and things have just kept rolling over, and it's just a dry, barren place, and you're ready. You want God to do something in your world tonight. This woman, this couple, deliberately built a zone in their lives for God and His purposes. They deliberately went about building something that stuck out and changed their lives and caused them to stand out differently from the rest of the town. Does that make sense to you? They deliberately did that. They chose to build into their world the purposes of God. You might be here tonight and you know nothing of the things of God, and you think, I don't know what this is all about. You don't have to know. You don't have to understand. In fact, you can never understand and rationalize and get it in your mind and sort God out. He's made it that way. But if tonight you're here and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, you've never asked God to come and by His Son, Jesus Christ, forgive you and bring you into relationship with Himself, then you can deliberately connect yourself to the purposes of God tonight, just like this lady did. And they saw the miracle-working power of God begin to work in their lives, transform them forever. God wants to transform your life forever. Not just put a Band-Aid on your problems and sort of rub something in that'll make you feel better. He wants to take out that hurt and pain and heal you and put a new heart in you and connect you to a God-given eternity. Bless you and care for you and walk with you for the rest of your days with His love, His grace, His mercy and forgiveness. And if you've never received Jesus before tonight, we serve a loving, caring, incredible God. And if you will intentionally make room in your life tonight for Jesus Christ and say, welcome Him into your world, your life will be changed forever. And if you're in that condition, you're in that position tonight, and you say, yeah, I'd like to open my life up to God. I want to see Him begin to move and work in my life. Then we'd invite you, as the band comes and they begin to play and so on, we'd invite you to come to the front here, and we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to share with you. We'd love to encourage you and pray with you and introduce you to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're in a position tonight, you know that there's barrenness and there's areas of dryness and in your life, and you think, I just really love to see God move in that thing. Are you ready to step into a bigger heart, a bigger spirit, a bigger level of generosity in every zone of your life? I'd invite you to come to the front. So the Bible says that when we withhold, it brings poverty. Poverty means to strangle and to lose life. God created you to live in His life and life more abundant. If you are ready tonight to say, Jesus, I want to live a bigger life. I want to live in a level of bigness of spirit. I'm ready to find a starting point tonight, but I need somebody to pray with me. I need someone to help me. I need somebody to stand with me that I can make a start of moving into a bigger life. We'd invite you to come to the front. Please stand with us, if you would, please. I'd love somebody to pray with me, and you're in that position to step into a bigger life, and a generous spirit, a big spirit. You know, you don't have to grow old to get generous. You don't have to grow rich to get generous. You can have a starting point tonight. Watch that generosity develop and open up the power of God over your world. Transform who you are and the people in your world. If you'd like to be in that, you'd like someone to stand with you tonight, please make your way to the front. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God together. See God do something in your world. Amen? Let's sing. And if you've never asked Jesus into your world, you feel, I'm ready to connect to the purposes of God tonight. I'm ready to facilitate, move, and go with God tonight. I'd like somebody to pray with me. Please come to the front. We'll pray. If you're ready to move out of barrenness and dryness and come into a place where you can flourish in God, we'd like to pray with you also. Amen. Let's sing.